Tonight, we are going to be looking at work ethic. Ooh, that's an ugly title, right? No one likes to work. But we're going to look at how that applies to us all spiritually. So now that Tony's not here, somebody had to fill in and offer a sports analogy. So I guess I'll do that tonight. As I said before, I'm in high school now, and I play for the John Marshall soccer team. And luckily for the past few years, the last 2 years, I was elected to be a captain for the team. And so that meant that I have more responsibilities to do now. I have to play hard, lead by example. I have more responsibility now that I'm a captain. And I've learned a few things by being a captain the last few years. It's taught me a lot, especially about work ethic. And I have a tendency to give speeches before games, which most of the teammates don't like because I ramble and ramble. But here's just one generic speech that I might give before a game. It would go something like, "Okay, boys, if we get out there and we focus on controlling the ball, get our passes straight to the feet of our players, we've got them. Run hard and focus on your positioning. Okay, let's go." And then we get out there, we get crushed, probably 11-0 or 12-0, lose really bad, and everybody would be in a bad mood to come back off the field. Okay, and now we're all blaming each other. We're pointing fingers. It was his fault. He didn't make this pass. He didn't make this shot. So now we're all arguing and we're in a bad mood. And so then comes the second speech at the end of the game, which would go something like, "Boys, we have a lot to focus on in practice this week because we couldn't control the game. Now don't point fingers. The team as a whole needs to play better. Maybe when we were in practice, we should have been focusing on the drills instead of talking about random stuff. And we should be putting more effort instead of lazily strolling around practice so we could actually get better." See, the problem is that I have to give this speech way too often for our soccer team in the first place. We have to give this speech way too often, but why? Because we don't work hard enough in practice in the first place. We weren't prepared. And you know, we didn't know that we were unprepared until we were out there on the field. Once we were out there playing that game, we realized, oh, wait, we're unprepared. We need to practice on something real quick. But you can't just call a timeout in the middle of a game and try to start practicing. No, you should have put the time in beforehand and had the right work ethic beforehand so that during the game, we would have been ready. It was too late when we realized that we were unprepared. And so then we also have some players who are out there sitting on the bench, and they're complaining about not getting any playing time. They're complaining about not getting to play on the field. Well, they are the ones that goof off at practice. They're the ones that don't try. That's why they're not playing. It's no wonder that they're not out there on the field. And meanwhile, the ones who do try at practice, the ones that have the good work ethic, are the ones who get to play most of the games. It really makes sense in the first place. But this analogy can also apply to us spiritually. Have we ever been caught off guard in this life? Have we ever gotten a question sprung on us that we have no idea what the answer to? Asked to defend our faith whenever we weren't prepared, and we just sit there and we have nothing? Sometimes we aren't prepared for the things in this life when we should be if we were to grow spiritually and put the work ethic in now. As seen in Acts 17 that was read for us beforehand, the Bereans searched the scriptures daily. They had the right work ethic. Paul went to Berea and preached the word, and those Jews studied the scriptures every day to see if those things that were being said were true. Daily they searched the scriptures. That's a great work ethic. And you see the result in verse 12? It says, "Many of them believed, as also did a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men." Many believed. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see what was being said. So the first question we have to ask is, where does spiritual growth come from in the first place? How do we grow spiritually? How do we get prepared for anything that comes our way in life? Well, reading God's word is the primary way to grow. As you saw with the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily. The scriptures are how they grew. That's how they became prepared. So there are some ways that the word and the growth correlate together. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So the word initiates faith in the first place. We don't believe until we've read the word in the first place. So we can't even start to beginning to grow until we look at the word. So that's a good place to start, is with the word. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There it says that the word of God will train you for righteousness. It says, training in righteousness, so that we may be equipped for every good work. Reading the word prepares us for anything we have to do with that out there in life. And also it's good for teaching and reproof, so we can grow with others. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This shows that no matter who reads the word, no matter who starts to study the gospel and start studying God's word, they will be changed. This word pierces the hardest hearts, so anybody can grow through the word. And you know, it's been this way since the very beginning. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have success. Even under the old law, they were to meditate day and night on this word. Why? So that they could be successful, as it says. God says that if we study his word, we will be successful. And this makes sense, because the more time that we spend studying for like a test during school or for something like that, the better we do on the test. If we study God's word and we prepare more, we'll be ready for the test, which is everyday application. This is seen in Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We store up the word, we study the word, so that way we don't sin, which is the test. Every day we go out and then we don't sin because we have that word at the forefront of our minds. So there is the studying for the test. But we will sin if we do not know God's word well enough. And then in Job 30:23, verse 12, it says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than the portion of my food. This shows where Job's priority for God's word was. It was ahead of his own food. That's where the priority was. And if you need food to survive, obviously, the word is prioritized above food, you need the word to survive spiritually for sure. So that's where our priority should be, the word and growing, so we can be prepared. So then we looked at how we can be prepared, but what do we need to be prepared for? So we're going to take a look at four different things that we should be prepared for in life and that we need to have the right work ethic to be prepared for. The first one is that we need to be ready to teach at every opportunity. This is what the entire sermon was on this morning, was being ready to teach at every opportunity. But we wouldn't be able to teach in the first place if we didn't know the Bible. If we had no idea what we were talking about, we wouldn't be able to teach it. We'd have no idea what we were saying. So the more time that we put in, the better we will know God's word and the more apt that we will be to be able to teach it. In Mark 16, verse 15, it said, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go out and preach, but you can't do that unless you know the scriptures. Easy, simple command, but we must be ready because we don't want to be caught off guard when it's a time to teach. We don't want to be out in the world and then a good opportunity shows up, but we don't know our Bible well enough to go out and teach. We don't want to get a question asked to us and that we have no answer to. We want to be prepared to go out and teach so that we have to read God's word and grow. The second thing is we need to be able to defend our faith. This one should be pretty easy in the first place, but do we know why we do what we do, why we're here, why we let God and Jesus control our lives, why we live to be a Christian? Because if we don't, we aren't prepared to defend our faith if we don't know why. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to have an answer to give the reason for the hope that we believe in. To everyone, have that answer ready. Well, if we haven't prepared for it, and we haven't had the right work ethic up to this point, we aren't prepared to defend our faith, to tell why we believe in going to heaven, why we believe Jesus is the Savior. So we need to be prepared now, so that whenever a question comes to us by anybody later, we are prepared to defend our faith. So we should not be struggling to answer any questions that are sprung up on us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." And this is why defending our faith should be easy. Everywhere that we look, it says that his divine attributes are clearly seen. Whether it's nature or anything else out there in the world or all of creation, it's easy to defend our faith. So we shouldn't be struggling to answer, why do we believe in God? He's seen everywhere. So we must be ready to defend our faith. The third thing is, we have to be ready to come to worship. We don't want to be caught unprepared when we come and assemble together. And again, the time that we put in beforehand is what we'll get out of our worship. We need to be in the right mindset to worship God. Not still dwelling on the world. We can't come in and still be thinking about the football game. We can't come in and think about lunch. We have to come in and be prepared to worship God. And there are a few reasons for that. The first one is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Guard your steps when you go into the house of God." In verse 2 it says, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are in earth. So let your words be few." We need to watch ourselves as we come to worship. I know this is talking about the house of God back in Solomon's time. But even now, we are presenting ourselves before God to worship before God. And what does it say? God is in heaven and we are on earth. So we should not be uttering any foolish things. We shouldn't be just going through the motions and just uttering the words of the songs, just reading along with the scriptures, just closing our eyes to pray. If we're not in the right mindset, we're uttering foolish things to him, and he doesn't want that. He said, "Let your words be few and chosen, because we are in front of God who is in heaven." And then in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." There are more than two or three here. Jesus is in the midst of us now. So it's a pretty good idea to be pretty serious about what we're doing here. Jesus is with us now. So this should be taken very seriously, what we're going through. We shouldn't be just the clanging of the cymbal, as the scriptures tell us. Instead, we need to be focused on what we're doing, what we're saying. Have meaning behind our words. Because that's how God wants us to worship. And the only way that we can do that is if we're prepared. It's not like you can just flip a switch the second that the person comes up for announcements. No, there's still things going on in your mind about the world. We need to be ready before we sit down, before we even get here, to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters and get ready to serve God. We don't want to be caught unprepared in this. And lastly, the fourth point is that we want to be ready to go to heaven. And this one's the most serious out of all of them. We better be prepared when we go to heaven, because there's no time out during the judgment day. There's no time out to say we need to go back and practice again. There's no way that we can go back and fix things that we did in our lives. This is our practice now, and that is the game. So we need to be ready whenever the judgment day comes. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, it says, "I have fought the good fight." This is Paul speaking. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." This is Paul saying that he has fought the good fight. He has put in the work ethic beforehand to be ready for the judgment day. He's saying that he's ready. He's prepared for the judgment day. And when you go back and look at Paul's life, it makes sense why he was prepared. He went all the way throughout the Mediterranean area, creating churches, going on missionary journeys, even through shipwreck and physical ailments. He was still doing the work of God, preparing himself for the judgment day and helping others and doing the work, putting in the time, having the work ethic. And so it makes sense that he was ready for that day. But in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 26, it says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death." This is where Paul is nearing the end of his life, and he's reflecting on how he feels he has prepared. In verse 21, it says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Jesus Christ will abound on account of me. You know, Paul was ready to go to heaven by this point. He had put in a lot of time and a lot of work throughout the years of his life for Christ. He was ready to go to heaven, but he still had the right work ethic, the right mindset of how to work and be ready. He said that even if Christ and God let him live on, even if he was to remain here on the earth, he would still work. It didn't matter whether he had put in enough time up to this point. He had the right mindset that he would keep working on to the point of death. And once he died, he was prepared to go to heaven. He said, it's far better for me to depart and be with Christ. But if I'm still here, I'm still going to work. I'm still going to do what Christ wants me to do. Paul was truly ready to go to heaven and hoping to go. But his work ethic was so great, he knew that if he stayed, he could still help with the Lord. And we should be like this too. We should be prepared to go to heaven. All of us should be ready to go to heaven whenever we die, whether that's today or 20 years from now. We should be ready to go to heaven. But at the same time, we need to keep up the work ethic. We need to continue to put in the time now, continue to grow and read God's word, and continue to be preparing ourselves for heaven until the point of death. There's no time that we can just take a time out, go sit the bench. There's no time for that as Christians. We go all the way until the point of death, and then we'll have the eternal rest in heaven. So obviously, we have some work to put in while we are here on earth. We have a lot of work to put in. And we see examples of Paul and others and Jesus who have put in a lot of time. You know, as we saw this morning, we are to imitate Jesus, because Paul said that we are to imitate him, and he imitates Christ. If we're to imitate Paul, we need to live the same way that he did. And we saw him put in the work ethic and put in the time, and he got it out. So remember that we can't call for a time out once we're up in heaven, once it's the judgment day. We can't call for a time out. We can't go back and try to fix things that have been done. It's the end, just like in the soccer analogy. We can't just stop the game, pause, go back and fix stuff and come back. It doesn't work like that. Once the judgment day has come, our life is over. So we better be prepared now for the judgment day later. Because we don't want to get up to the judgment day and hear that second speech I was talking about at the beginning. We don't want to hear that, boy, you weren't ready. You didn't prepare as much as you needed to. You need more practice. You need to put in more time at practice. You need to put in more work ethic because you didn't do well enough. We don't want to hear that speech. Instead, we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the way that we get to hear that speech is putting in the time now, putting in the right work ethic, having the right mindset now, getting our time in. So do you already know what you will hear on that day? Because I think a lot of us do know in the back of our minds what answer we'll hear. If you have not been baptized, you can come and do so now, tonight. Because if you have not been baptized, you don't have any hope for that, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in. We are commanded to be baptized into Jesus, so that way we can enter into heaven. And until that's done, we have not started putting that time and that work ethic in. And then maybe you know that you've messed up, and it's in the back of your mind, it's just sitting there. You have the chance to fix that now while you have the chance, because you won't have the chance later. You have the chance now tonight to fix that and get yourself right with Christ. If either of these two things apply to you, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.